Welcome to worship on this week beginning the 13th of September. I'm very grateful to Gillian Richmond for leading our worship in the last 2 weeks whilst I was on holiday. And I continue to give thanks for the team working on the online worship with me, Alec Ferguson, Mike Higgins, and Alan Hamilton. This Sunday, the 13th of September, the church sanctuary reopens for public worship. And I would just like to explain that the sanctuary is only open for that time between 10:30 and 11 on a Sunday morning, and between 7 and 8 on a Wednesday evening for private prayer. The church building is not generally reopened yet, and for our own safety, we're asked to stay away from the building except for those designated times. Many people have been joining us for online worship, some through watching on their laptop and others through the dedicated phone line. We've welcomed people from all over Scotland and further afield. And here in our own community of Kilmarnock, we welcome the congregation and community of St Kentigern's Parish who are worshipping with us this morning. Thank you to Tracy, their session clerk, who will bring our Bible reading. And thank you to their worship team for the final item of praise we will share this morning. Wherever we are, we come to worship God. Lord, we do not come as guests, but as members of your family. We do not come in fear, but with joy and thanksgiving. We do not come alone, but with all your people of every age and in every place. Lord, we come as your family, for you are our Heavenly Father. Christ is our brother and Saviour and Lord. We worship in spirit and truth.
Great is thy faithfulness, morning. reading this morning is Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7, and then 10 to 13. Let's listen for God's word. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I rejoice greatly in the Lord, that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Amen, and thanks be to God.
Paul wrote this letter to the church in Philippi from prison. His own personal circumstances make the words that we heard read this morning all the more poignant. They give us a portrait of a man facing huge difficulties and hardships, holding to his faith and to his hope in Christ. Sometimes we think of anxiety as a modern problem. However, Professor Tom Wright tells us differently in his book entitled Paul for Everyone, where he writes, anxiety was a way of life for many in the ancient pagan world. Many people have reported increased feelings of anxiety and depression throughout these recent months where we faced the struggle with coronavirus. Figures from the Office of National Statistics show that the equivalent of 7.4 million people across the country admitted that their mental well-being had been affected through the lockdown. How are you? How are you feeling? Are you aware of anxiety in your own life? How's this affecting you? Remember these words that Paul speaks. The Lord is near. And perhaps this morning that is all that you will hear. And it's all you need to hear. The Lord is near. You are not alone. You are not abandoned. In Paul's writing in the New Testament, he doesn't deny that the worst things can happen to all of us, as he must have had a strong suspicion of what might happen to him. He doesn't try to minimise these. He doesn't try to explain them away as God's will or God's judgment or God's method of testing us. American pastor and theologian Frederick Buechner, in his book Whistling in the Dark, writes these words. Paul simply tells the Philippians that in spite of them, even in the thick of them, they are to keep constant touch with the one who unimaginably transcends the worst things, as he also unimaginably transcends the best. Our God is indeed a great big God, and he holds us in his hands. Buechner continues, in every situation, Paul says, they are to keep on praying. Come hell or high water, they are to keep on asking, keep on thanking. Above all, keep on making themselves known. He does not promise them that as a result they will be delivered from the worst things any more than Jesus himself was delivered from them. What he promises them instead is that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep their hearts and their minds in Christ Jesus. The worst things can and surely will happen. That's to be understood. But beyond all our power to understand, Paul writes, we will have this peace that only God through Christ can bring. Anxiety can overwhelm us. And for some people, we will need the support and the help of our doctors and other professionals. And it's never something to be ashamed of to go and seek that support and that help that we need. For most of us, that battle with anxiety will be something that we need to work through in our own way and in our own time, with the help and support of family and friends, and in the knowledge of God's presence through faith. Roy Lesson writes these words: anxiety. Do not carry it. Walk with it. Eat with it. Live with it. Or go to bed with it. Don't entertain it. Support it. Encourage it. Not in big things or little things, present things or future things, pressing things or perplexing things. It is a foe, not a friend, a downer, not an edifier, a binder, not a freer. It will quickly introduce to you its close cousins, fret and fear. When anxiety knocks at the door of your heart or mind, be sure to renounce it, reject it, and refuse it any place. These are wise words, but it's not easy to put them into practice. And for many of us just now, there is a sense of not knowing what the future holds. When I was preparing to return from my holidays, I usually come back with some sense of trepidation, not knowing what the months ahead will bring. But there's also an excitement and an anticipation as the church begins to take on all the different activities in its autumn season. How different this year. How easy to allow anxiety to take hold and to strangle and to reduce us down, to cause us to fret and to fear. Paul knew it was going to be hard. And he had worked in his own life to learn to cope in the different circumstances he found himself in. He even speaks of finding contentment in these different circumstances. And this incredible declaration at the end of our verses this morning: I can do all this through Christ who gives me strength. What a timely reminder for you and for me of Christ, the one who has gone before us, the one who lived, died, and rose again triumphant. The one who holds all things together. The one who holds us in his grace and love. May we know the peace and strength of Christ in our hearts. Amen.